You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, February 24th. What? Episode 3633 brought to you today by Worm Flooring. Good morning, horse people.
I have good news and bad news for you on this Monday morning. First, the bad. It's Monday. But the good news is really good. Jamie and Glenn are here to guide you through another week filled with horse talk and a whole lot of fun. Welcome to Horses in the Morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. Coming up on today's show, Jamie's going to tell us all about the Ingrid Klimke Clinic that she attended over the weekend. And we're also got some random news stuff for you. We have an update on the movement coming up this year. And we have your equestrian first world problems. Also, in the Auditor Post Show, you're going to meet Auditor Katie Labetz. She's going to join us, and we're going to learn a little bit about her. So this morning, Jennifer goes out every morning and feeds the horses. And she was getting ready, everything ready, because she's scheduled to go see her mom, who's got some serious health issues, and she hasn't seen her in a little while, so she's going to fly up there. And she comes in this morning, and anytime Jennifer comes back in, I'm working on the show notes for the show, and she comes back in and says, I'm going to need your help. That's never good. That means either something's broken, either like fence or something in the barn or a horse. Well, in this case, a horse. So her new horse, James, apparently scratched or punctured his eyeball this morning, and I sent you a picture of it. It's like a perfect round circle right above his cornea. And, of course, it was all swelled up and everything. And she's contacted the vet, and wait, I guess I don't know what's happening because I've been here. But in any case, you've been through this before, and you know what it's like. So
it's the worst.
And we had like 10 minutes to decide whether she was going to cancel her trip so we could still get all our money back, because you know how that works if you don't cancel like 24 hours ahead. So I was able to cancel everything, and so that was good. But so now she's not going to see her mom this week, because there's one thing that this horse husband ain't qualified for, and that's putting drops in a horse that doesn't want drops in their eyeball.
And that's what I was telling you. Like, you have got to get an SPL unit, which is it's pretty gruesome. Don't watch them install it. But basically, it's a tube that goes into the eye, and they braid the tube into the horse's mane. So you actually end up putting the medication into the tube, like halfway down the horse's neck, and it flushes
still
up
not qualified
into the eyeball. Do you want me to describe how they basically?
No, I don't want you to describe that at all, because I'm still not qualified. When it deals with eyeballs, I am not qualified.
I just feel like you should be more prepared for something like this, considering all of the episodes we've done on horse eyeballs.
Well, and we have had horses with hurt eyeballs before, and I remember that every 2 hours, 24 hours a day, putting the drops in, and then the horse won't open its eyeball, and it takes two of us to get it done. I am not doing that myself.
That's why, number one, it's only every 2 hours for the first 3 days, and number two, it's an SPL unit will save your marriage.
Yeah, not qualified here to do that myself. And I don't think she wants me to be honest. So
yeah, that's probably the most fair part.
There's the other thing. So yeah, so that trip was postponed. We'll find out how that goes, but I hope the horse is okay.
Oh, poor guy.
Yeah, and it has to be the new one, right? Not Nigel, who's retired. You know, that never happens. It's always, and it's never at a good time. There's never a good time. So
there's never a good time, and eyeballs are the absolute most time-consuming and difficult and sometimes heartbreaking. So I hope it all works out for her.
Yeah.
But do more than less at this point. Right now, I would say do everything you can.
All right. I texted her your message. So she was out this morning getting, I don't know what she's doing. I try to stay out of her way when there's injuries involved.
That's probably good. Yeah. I'll just have her call me.
The horse husband's the last person that should be telling the horse person what to do when there's injuries involved. So I just stay out of the way. Learned that early on.
You don't want to mansplain how to take care of a horse's eyeball?
No.
Like, I don't know if you know this, but I am the preeminent horse husband of the world, and I have done 47 episodes on treating a horse with the eye ulcer.
That's true. But
that should go over really well.
Yeah. I just do what she says. She says, hold this horse. I hold the horse. That's what I do. All right, Daily Winnie time. Well, happy birthday to Debbie Holt. I think she's on a cruise right now of like the Mediterranean. She's one of our terrific auditors and a professional cruiser at this point, I think. It has been on, I think, every one of our cruises. So happy birthday to you. We hope you're enjoying your trip. Also, we have some brand new auditors. We have Biddy Lowry, Brooke White, and Aaron upped her pledge. So thank you to Aaron for that. And welcome to the new auditors. If you haven't joined the auditor page, search for HRN Auditors on Facebook.
Well, I would like to give my Daily Witty. It was a really fun, exciting weekend heading down to Texas. And I driving sucks when you have like one good arm and one somewhat barely functioning arm. And so Larissa drove the whole way, and it was a lot of driving, a lot of work and organizing and all that. And I let her do everything. So I just wanted to say, give her a little Daily Witty shout out. Way to go.
Was this just you and Larissa, or did Anna go? Or
just me and Larissa, because the tickets, oh my God, the tickets for the auditors were $180.
Really?
And I was like, that seems like
it's
a lot.
Like $40.
I get it now, though. I see why they were that expensive. I mean, granted, she's a 5-time Olympian and she's amazing. Not only does she do eventing, she's also world champion Grand Prix dressage rider. Like, she's amazing. So Ingrid Klimper, her dad was Reiner Klimper, and like, just ridiculously, they've forgotten more about riding. And it was so friendly towards the auditors of the clinic. Like, she was talking to the auditors the whole time and teaching, but also explaining. It was just,
that's interesting, because sometimes the clinicians kind of just ignore the fact that you're even there.
Yeah, no, it was not like that at all. And she had like Q&A sessions constantly, like before and after the lunch break, and then in the morning and then the afternoon. And she did book signings, and she was very engaged with the audience, which I was like, wow, I really felt like I got my money's worth. And oh my God, could I be more inspired? I am riding a horse today, Glenn. I don't care what's going to happen. I'm going to ride a horse, because it's like one of those things where you go to it and you're like, oh my God, I can do everything. I'm ready to do it all. And so I did have some takeaways from the clinic, if you want me to go over those. Like, I mean, I'm just like super inspired. First thing, what she said to every single rider when they came in. Okay. So the morning sessions were dressage, and it's like they started with baby horses, and then it got progressively higher to like Grand Prix level dressage. And then in the eventing sessions were in the afternoon, and it started with some like young event horses, and then it progressed up to like advanced level eventers. Now, it was not a jump big stuff clinic. She does a lot of work with Cavaletti, and she has a new book, and it's called, let's see, Cavaletti for Dressage and Jumping. It's a 4th edition. I have the one that her dad wrote. Like, it's like a, basically like a pamphlet. So it was really interesting to see how she does her grid work. And she has her own like Cavaletti grids that they brought over from Germany. And just really, really, really awesome setup and equipment. But the very first thing she said to every rider, dressage, jumping, whatever, you know how when you're holding, you guys imagine you have your hands out and you're holding your whip, okay? And you're holding the whip, and probably about, you know, 3-4 inches is on the top of their hand, and then it goes through your hand and then go down to the back of the horse. We realized that she must have some major PTSD, because the first thing she did was make everybody push the whip so it was flush with the top of their hand. So you're holding the very tippy top of the whip, and none is coming up out of the out of your like above your thumb. And that was the first thing she said to everybody, put the whip down, push the whip down. I need you to hold the end of the whip, you know, and she's not British. She's German, but I can't do that accent. So, and she did that for like the first three riders. And finally she's like, okay, I have to tell you guys why I do that, because she explained everything so well. Is that one time she was teaching a dressage lesson and the girl had her whip hanging out with about 3 inches of the handle of the whip coming above her hand, mm-hmm. and the horse bucked and the butt of the whip went into her eyeball. Ooh. And she was like, please, please keep the whip down because it will go. It's so much safer. And I was like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. I never would have thought of that. I mean, so that was like the first number one thing she said to every single person.
The only person that would ever think of that was a person that got whacked in the eyeball. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. How many times do you have to watch that happen before you're like, I can't? And she would stop people in the middle, be like, you have to put it down again. Put your whip down. So yeah. Did I describe it well?
Yeah.
Enough
yeah. To... Just so that the butt of the whip isn't sticking out the top of your hand.
Yes, yes. Exactly.
And I do it. I mean, even with the driving whip. I mean, it's the same thing.
But, yeah, well, at least you don't have it like
pointed
like,
toward my face. Yeah,
like if the horse like rears its front end up, then that whip butt goes into your eyeball. So that was really interesting. I'd never thought of that before. But again, you only have to see it once before it's a thing. So one of the things was like keep your hands together all the time. No opening the reins. She's like, every once in a while, you'll have a horse, like a green horse that you really have to help. But she was like, keep your hands together down by the withers at all times, because then you want to turn the horse with the body and you keep your hands close to the withers so that they can feel the reins on their neck, hands together. The next thing was, I just kept taking notes of like everything time she said something. So if I'm boring, I'm going on too much because it was so exciting and I had so much fun. It was amazing and I learned so much. You just let me know. So obviously I don't ride with a whip when I ride Ace because I'm Monty Roberts. We don't do that. But, you know, Monty rides with spurs. They're rubber coated and stuff. And everything is, you know, about being gentle and not causing pain and all that. But she said that, you know, at times you first ask with your calf, you put your calf on to send the horse forward. If it doesn't, then you use your leg, like you bump him with your leg. And she was like, the third time the whip is for, if you carry the whip is for brushing on them when your calf is not enough. You don't whack them with the whip. You brush the whip on them to say, let me see how she came up with the perfect way to say it. Where is it? Sorry. You want to be firm, gentle, and clear with your aids. First you ask, that's your calf. Then you demand, that's your kick. And then you say, I mean it. Because in eventing, these horses have to be fresh, you know, and jump off your aids and stuff. Same in dressage. And so it was interesting to see her say, first you ask, then you demand, and then you say, I mean it. And all that is the calf. Little bump of the legs is next. And Ace is sometimes I ask him to go and I'm like, I have to flat kick him. So it'll be interesting to see like if just holding a dressage whip and you just brush it on their heel. And you think about driving, you know, you guys use whips for communication.
They're aids basically is what they are. Because so, we don't have legs and calves and, you know, spurs.
Yeah. So Ace is at the point where he can like start to become a properly trained horse. Some more things. You know, so much Cavalletti work. And when you're going over poles, you want to give. It's so good for young horses to be able to stretch down and look at the poles. Another thing is when you get on your horse and you're warming up, get off their back. She was like, get up. She was making these dressage riders be like in 2-3 point position and watching them try to stay up off their horse's back when the horse was cantering was amazing. You could tell that huge difference between the morning session of dressage riders and the afternoon session of eventers, because these horses, it was like one horse came out and then they did that little lesson. And then the next one, and every horse was more and more incredible. I saw horses that were like young 4-year-old warm bloods all the way up to like 17-year-old Grand Prix Andalusian stallions. I mean, it was insane, the quality of animals and the quality of riders for these clinics. And they come out and they are dressed smart, white breeches, black shirt, horses are braided, like they're wearing shiny boots and helmets.
You don't think they get a list ahead of time of...
They had saddle pads with the sponsor on it. I mean, It was a big deal. It was a really big deal to have these guys ride. And then in the afternoon sessions, the eventers, and the first thing she said is when the eventers came out, you know, if you watch an eventer ride versus a dressage rider, the dressage rider, their legs move around a lot. Because they're constantly having to move to cue. Eventers, that calf don't move. And she was like, you notice their legs, they don't move, because if they move, they're on the ground.
Yeah, they're gone.
They're gone. Yeah. So that was another takeaway. Oh, that's funny. And then a lot about canter to walk transitions and lower hands and more giving. And the one thing she said constantly was positive forward, like basically go positive forward, just go. Young horses want contact. Our aim is that you give and they carry themselves. Oh, another hot tip, you guys, stay off the rail, stay off the wall, because it makes horses be straighter when they are on the quarter line versus the rail.
Interesting. You would think it'd be the other way, wouldn't you?
No, because they end up kicking their shoulders out. And so they end up having their shoulders and their hips on the same track. And the horses are more narrow on the shoulders. So if you stay off the rail, it makes them be straighter, or makes them be straighter. One thing I learned too, like, say you have a horse that is really good on the left lead and not so good on the right lead. So many trainers, you do the bad side first because it warms up You do the good side first because it warms them up, or you do the bad side first so they're not too tired. There's so many things that she said that I have heard left and right, every other side of what she said. And I'm just going to go with what she said, because she's, Ingrid. So whatever she says goes. But you always do the good side first is what she said. Just so you guys know, if you got a left lead or a right lead one, whatever, do the good side first. There's 10 different horses. You do things 10 different ways, depending on what the horse needs. So so much of it was read your horse. Understand, she was very, very, very gentle. You don't hit the horses. You don't do that. Long and low, stretching, stay soft and light, be firm, gentle, but clear with your aids. Everything was gentle, gentle, gentle. First you ask, then you demand, then you say, I mean it, but you're clear and gentle. And finally she said, I think the coolest thing, and then I'll move on. She said, if you whisper, the horse will whisper. And I was like, oh, that is, I want to put that on a t-shirt. If you whisper, the horse will whisper. She was like, they can feel a fly. You don't need all these things. Everything should just be soft and gentle and forward and happy. And she talks so much about the character of the horses. Like, oh, he's got such a good character. I like that one's character, and all of it. And she did these Q&A sessions afterwards, and it was just so great. I just learned so much, and I'm so inspired. And I already have the book in the shopping cart, Cavaletti for Dressage Jumping, because there were some amazing exercises. And it was so funny to watch the eventers go through the Cavaletti, boop, 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 no problem. And then the dressage horses would come up to the Cavaletti and stop.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. You put some in my way.
There's something on the ground. It was it was the wall of the dressage arena, because they're taught not to go over it. And so just a vast difference, but just every horse was more beautiful than the last. And
it sounds like a consistent message, though, was get out of their mouth, right? Give them their head.
Yeah, but not just giving their head. You keep your hands here. And there's horses that were yanking and pulling and trying to get the reins loose. She was like, no, just close your hand. If they try to take, you just say no. You don't pull back. You don't start a fight. She talked about you don't start. If you're fighting with your horse, it's you. You should not fight with your horse. They're horses. They're generous. They're kind. They want to work. They want to do things for you. I mean, the horses are so trainable, but you have to be consistent and gentle and fair and clear. Man, it was awesome. It was awesome. If anybody has a chance to go see an Ingrid clinic, please do. Just know that the price is worth it, because she spends so much time making sure that there was 200 people watching.
Oh, I was going to ask you how crowded it was.
Oh, it was, and it was in an indoor arena.
And this is in Texas, writing English.
It was so cold. Oh my God. We had like, you sit on bleachers, like 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. You were on bleachers the whole time. So I brought like, I got my in-laws like bleacher seats. And so we sat down and watched it. And I saw so many people I knew. It was just a cool horse community. There are people from Houston and Louisiana. There was all the surrounding states were represented. It was just, I mean, huge. Everybody knew what greatness they were witnessing. And it was, everybody was respectful and kind, and everybody was taking notes. It was just like a group of 200 people watching this that just really wanted to learn and get better and ask great questions and be a part of it. And I was so glad I went.
Yay. I'm so glad it worked out. That's very cool. Very cool. Well, there you go. If Ingrid comes to a town near you, go to the clinic. It's worth the money. Jamie gives it a full bail.
Yes, full bail, full bail. If that's our rating system, full bail.
Full bail.
Round bail.
Worm Flooring now does trailer roofs. Leaky roofs are a very common problem in horse trailers and RVs. They put on a silicone-based coating that creates a barrier to the heat and wet. It seals your roof to stop leaks before they start, and it reflects back nearly 90% of those UV rays, which is going to become important in another 6 months, keeping your trailer or barn up to 60 degrees cooler on a blistering day. It's hard to believe. See, you were freezing your butt off all weekend. It's hard to believe in another 6 months you're going to be at 110 degrees.
I know.
So ditch the duct tape and buckets. Invest in long-lasting peace of mind with Seal and Chill. It is applied by pros for a flawless finish. It's only $7.50 a square foot, and that's a steal for a cooler, drier, happier trailer or RV. You can find a dealer near you to help you get this on your RV or trailer or horse trailer at wormflooring.com to find a dealer near you. And they'll do your floors, too. Of your horse trailer, so either
well,
one,
here,
roof floor,
like,
or both.
They had a whole like bulletin board of people selling things, and I was amazed looking at it. All these trailers for sale would be like, you know, 6 horse slant load sundown or whatever. Worm Flooring.
Oh, really?
That was one of the top things that was on every trailer advertisement. If they had it, it was like the first thing. Worm Flooring. It was advertised.
Oh, that's cool.
I was like, yes. Yeah, it was cool.
That's kind of neat. All right, cool. Well, Jamie, there was a study. You know how I do a study show? Well, this is one I actually read because it really does apply to why we think horse kids who have to work around the farm and have to do chores end up, you know, kind of almost better in life for having done it. And there's an 85-year ongoing study conducted by Harvard that has found a strong connection between doing chores and later professional success and happiness. The findings showed that shared responsibilities help children develop greater self-worth, confidence, work ethic, and empathy for others. So, you know how we always said, or our parents always told us, you know, that they were having us do chores to make us a better person? Well, apparently, according to
building
this study,
character.
That's true. And so that could be why, you know, because I think horse kids, if you're growing up at a horse farm, especially if your parents are have a farm and you're growing up there and you're doing chores, you're doing a lot more than 99% of your friends are. And I think that that means a lot. And apparently this study says it really does. It does mean a lot.
Did you have chores when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah.
Is there one chore that stuck out to you?
Well, we all had our separate chores because there were 4 boys and she figured she could get all the housework and yard work done that way.
Yeah.
So our chores changed over time because as we got older, like we were allowed to mow the lawn or, you know, that kind
allowed.
Of thing.
Allowed. See that genius. You were allowed. Oh, congratulations. You're now allowed to mow the lawn. Smart. Your mom's smart.
Because mowing the lawn always seemed like the cool job, right? Until you did it. You know,
right.
The first couple times you did it, it was cool. You know, the 85th time you did it wasn't as cool. But that was the cool job that you wanted to age into. And by that point, your brother was, you know, out of the house. So because my brother was 4 years older than me. So I aged into that as he was leaving and got to do the lawn, you know, again, for the first couple times. It's a lot of fun. And then not so much fun anymore. But yeah,
but
I mean,
then,
we
like,
all
did
had
you have
chores.
Like a job that sucked. Like my dad made us do one particular awful job.
Yeah, we had one.
What was it?
We had a hedgerow of rose bushes that were about 7 feet tall and about a football field length long. And they needed trimmed. The tops needed trimmed off to them about twice a year. And you had to use a stepladder and then these hand shears. And of course, their rose bush is full of pickers. So, it took all day. It took one person all day with the ladder cutting the rose bushes. That was the most hated job.
Gotcha. Yeah, that sucks. My dad would give us a trash can, each of my brothers and I. Growing up in Atlanta, there's a lot of pine trees. And he would give us a trash can, like a full-size, big old trash can. And we had to walk around. I grew up on 12 acres. And we had to pick up pine cones. And you would literally just bend over. And you weren't done until you filled the entire trash can full of pine cones. It was hell. I remember my mom one time made me wash the Venetian blinds in the tub. I had to do that.
Oh, that's got to suck.
Yeah.
Every terrible. Little blind.
Stupid Venetian blinds. I won't have them in my house now because of that. But yeah, interesting. Well, you know what? I don't know if it worked, but I have a hell of a lot of characters.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, look at that. But I think it's probably true. I mean, it's one of those, doing chores helps you develop character, and actually have a work ethic. That kind of makes sense. But there's an 85-year study that validates it.
Well, Lucas is, he mucks his stalls and he knows how to do it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I keep it really easy. So every day I pick the stalls and I chunk all of it into a corner because it is a lot of work for me to get my cart out, my wagon. And
especially with one arm.
Yeah. And so I just pick them and I toss everything in the corner and he comes in and scoops the corners and puts it in the thing. So yeah, he does that. That's part of his job. And he has to dump the manure in the manure pile. And now I'm like, you're old enough to drive the Ranger out to the pasture, back up the manure wagon into the pile and scoop it all out. I've totally pulled that. You're finally old enough. Congratulations.
And again, for the first couple times, it was fun.
Yeah. I'm like, time to muck stalls. No.
Who mows the lawn? Because you have a lot of lawn.
Oh, Chad mows the lawn. Are you kidding me? I did it once. I'm like, this is too scary. It's some of the zero turn things. And I just feel like somebody's going to video me and it's going to be on America's Funniest Home Videos because I'm going to be the one who like runs over, somebody's foot or the car or does something stupid.
Probably goes 85 miles an hour on that thing, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my God. That's his thing. I mean, because I just don't care. I'd be like, can we just bring the horses in the yard and let them eat all this? Like, I think that mowing the lawn and having a lawn is stupid. There's so much easier way to do this.
You know, it's going to be our first year really here where we have to mow coming up. And of course, it's spring already in Florida. So I mean, we're still getting into the 30s and 40s at night, but the sun's coming out, starting to rain. So the grass is growing. And I'm like, oh, God. So what we decided to do, because we don't do anything on the backside of the house. We have a yard not a yard yet, but we have empty space in the back side of the house because we just built it. Uh-huh. We decided to plant wildflowers all across the back of the house because we never go back there.
Smart.
So
and then you get the monarch butterflies and all the great things, and you don't have to mow.
And the snakes probably too. I said we're leaving a 10-foot buffer. I will mow 10 feet behind the house and the flowers because I want a space to see the snakes. So, to catch them before
they come. So you can view them and catch them and make them your friends and your pets.
Well, you know what I think has helped the snakes? We haven't seen any since we got the cats. Now we don't see snakes as much. So I can't believe snakes are afraid of cats, of all things. But it seems to work. Having the cats.
But don't cats just like eat snakes? They catch them and eat them?
Well, little ones. I don't think they eat the big ones. I think
they don't know that though. It's like having a giant tiger walking around in front of you,
It seems to work.
That's good. That's good. So I've done the barn cat program 3 times now. And these cats, they just disappear. Like they're so good. But every once in a while, we'll see them.
And your perimeter fence too. I just say the heck with that. We're out.
Well, I can't. Here's the problem is I do have a perimeter fence all the way around the property. First of all, cats perimeter fence, they don't care. But what I do have is I have coyotes that dig under the fence and go through. So that's how Homer gets out. He's like, follows his nose and he's like, cool, there's a hole that's already been dug for me. I can just leave the property. It's fantastic. So yeah, it's a thing. But we do see the cats every now and then. I'm like, oh, there's the black one. You can see it up there on the hill. That's as close as we get to it.
Do you know what I think helps the cats stay in at our house is on 3 sides of us, they have big dogs. So the cats torment the dogs from our side of the fence, and they'll do it for an hour, and the dog will be barking like crazy for an hour, and the cat will just sit there about 10 feet away laughing at them. But I think that that's the reason they haven't left the farm yet, knock on wood, is because there's dogs all surrounding it.
Well, yours were kittens when you got them, yes, so they were handleable. Mine were, they're like, hey, this cat has been sitting in a cage at the shelter for 3 months. Anybody want, it's feral and it will kill you. Yeah, that's perfect. I'll take it.
And then they leave and go to somebody else's house.
Hey, I do want to give you an update on the new horse because we decided on a name.
Oh, yeah. We haven't finally heard the name yet.
I know. So I've been wanting to get, because he's little and he's old, and I was like, I want like a little old man name, and all of the listeners have submitted the most amazing little old man names.
I feel there were a lot of
it's just, and I'm getting emails and all this. I think what we've decided is I've got to Google it to make sure I get
Chester.
The last name. No,
Milton.
Okay, his name is gonna be, have you ever seen the movie Up?
Oh, yeah.
You know that little old man in Up?
Yeah, yeah.
This horse looks like the little old man in Up. Oh. It was perfect. And
what's
so
his
the
name?
Horse's name is now, drumroll, Carl.
Oh, that's right. His name was Carl.
Yes.
That's perfect name.
I was talking to my cousins. I went to visit my aunt over the weekend, and I was talking about it. She was like, he kind of looks like that guy from Up. And some people have actually suggested Carl without knowing he looks like Carl from Up. So yeah, Carl Fredrickson is the character in Up, and he is just the, like, I look at him and I'm like, oh my God, it's Carl.
There's an animated movie that even makes me cry every time I watch it. Like, oh my God.
Can't,
that's a tough one.
And then I've been showing Anne all these movies, and then one of our listeners posted that you have to show her this movie, and it is that Tom Burlingson movie, Farlap. Have you seen Farlap, Glenn?
Not in years.
Well, it's like kind of like a true story-ish. You know, there's Hollywood or Australian Hollywood, and you know, but for the most part, it's a true story of the story of Farlap, who is an Australian racehorse, and he is a national treasure. And I saw that movie. I've seen it a bunch, but I can't do it anymore because the last time I watched it, I cried for 2 weeks.
Oh, no.
2 weeks. Nobody needs that. And then somebody was like, you should show Anna Farlap. And I was like, oh my God, I will send her home with that movie. I am not going
that
to.
That movie was 1983.
Yeah, I believe it, because it was about the same time as A Man from Snow River, and that one. So, yeah, it's old, and it is so, it's still, it's such a great movie. It's such a great movie, but I mean, my God, it's the saddest. Like, cry, cry, cry. It's like when I watched a movie about Ruffian. I'm like, what? What is happening? This is the worst thing I've ever seen. It's so sad. So I'll send her home with that. Now, an update from the last show on the, I am desperately seeking the Man O' War Walter Farlever book, I think it's a great way to introduce Anna to Man O' War, because she's like, Secretary, it's the greatest of all time. And I'm like, you don't know Man O' War. So I get all weird about it. So I put a call out for the Man O' War book, and I think somebody is sending it. I won't mention their name until it gets here, but somebody contacted me and said they have it and they would like to send it to Anna.
Oh,
is
that so
sweet?
That's great.
Don't worry. I will give it to Anna after I read it before I give it to her. I should make sure.
Terrific. We have good listeners. We have the best listeners.
I know. Everybody's so great. I love it.
Well, the foundation for a horse's well-being is a strong hoof. That's why Collexiquin, the new daily hoof supplement, is... went too fast. Three.
You were so good for a second there.
Three, two. I can't do this for some reason with it all one paragraph. I don't know. My mind doesn't work that way. Well, the foundation of a horse's well-being is a strong hoof. That's why Collexiquin, the new daily hoof support supplement from the makers of Cosequin, contains key ingredients such as biotin, amino acids, copper, and zinc to support hoof integrity, quality growth, strength, and durability. What sets Collexiquin apart from other hoof supplements is the inclusion of vitamin E and selenium, which provide antioxidant support and membrane stabilization. Put your best hoof forward with Collexiquin. To learn more, visit visit calexiquin.com. That's calexiquin.com.
Okay, is anybody, stop, don't say anything. Is anybody who's listening to this, do y'all, are y'all freaking out right now too? Who's freaking out right now?
What?
Let's see. One, two, three, four times in that commercial. Four times you said hoof, not hoof.
Four times.
Did anybody hear that?
I didn't even hear it.
Go back and play it again.
It must be the cold. The cold medicine is getting to me.
He's broke, y'all. We broke the horse. Yes. 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 Okay. Is anybody else for you? Every time you said it, I was like, ooh, oh my God.
I need to replay that because I don't remember even saying it that way.
You know why? Because you said it right.
I think it's because I'm on cold drugs.
Think about it. Because you're not cold medicine. So taking cold medicine takes the Brit out of you.
I guess. Did I really?
Yes. Yes. Put your best. And I was like, when you do it to do the last one, I was like, he's going to revert. Right. He's going to revert. And you were like, put your best foot forward. And I was like, oh my God. Consequent.
Everybody, we've been waiting to make this announcement, but I think we should do it now.
What?
Jamie's starting to rub off on me, so the show is over. This is the last episode.
I can't do this anymore. Better you had a stroke. Can you smile with both sides? Stick your tongue out.
Anymore. I can't be with Jamie anymore. It's obviously.
Oh my God. My palms are sweaty. This is so exciting. This is so exciting. Okay,
let me redo the commercial. The foundation of a horse's well-being.
All right, play it. Play you as rider. Come on.
As horse owners, we spend a lot of time on the road. Let U.S. Rider help keep you covered. Our equestrian motor plan offers fast, reliable, nationwide service from our highly trained roadside assistance team. 24/7 coverage for both you and your horse. Membership includes horse trailer servicing, towing, flat tire repair, even on dual wheels, battery assistance, and lockout service on any vehicle in your plan. We also have your equine companions covered with referrals for emergency vet services, farrier referrals, and emergency stabling assistance. Get peace of mind on the road for you and your horse. Join U.S. Rider today.
Hey, just a reminder to everybody, this is so cool. So, you know, we do the movement at Monty Roberts at Flag Is Up Farm every year. And this year it is going to be June 20th, 21st, and 22nd. And this is, you're going to love the people that are going to be there. Okay. So we are going to have Tad Coffin and his wife, and she is an artist, like an amazing artist. So I think we're going to have her and Pat do like an art exhibit of their art. Oh, cool. But also, I mean, Tad Coffin, I'm sorry, he was the first American to ever win Olympic gold in eventing. Like, he's a baller, and he's the one who has made the EWL.
So Tad's actually coming?
Yes.
Wow.
It's official. I'm announcing it here. Tad Coffin and his wife Kelly, they're gonna be there. Yay. Guess who else is coming?
I don't know.
I mean, besides me and Monty and Jared Rodderson, of course.
Jared's coming back too?
Jared's gonna be back, and Dr. Siemens is coming back.
I did hear that. He told me he was going back. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's going to be so fun. So anybody who wants to go, June 20th, 21st, and 22nd, you can go to MontyRoberts.com and look and click through there to try to find tickets and movement. But it's going to be really, really fun. And it's in June. And again, as an Olympian, like a gold medalist.
We got amazing. Three of our favorites on this show going at one time.
I know. I'm so excited. And me. I mean, well, and me.
Well, that was a given, granted, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. I'm the most excited
with you right now about this whole commercial
me being
thing.
There. Listen, you're the one who had a stroke and started straightened yourself out.
When is it?
June 20th, 21st, and 22nd.
And people
yes.
can still sign up?
Oh, yeah. It's in June, so you got plenty of time. Get some tickets.
All right. Very good. And it's MontyRoberts.com. They can probably find it there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Very good. And of course, you can listen to Debbie's show. That's Horsemanship Radio. Debbie is Monty's daughter, and she'll be talking all about it on there, I'm sure, too. But she's been doing her show for almost 10 years now. If you haven't given that a shot, check out Horsemanship Radio. Before we get to a question, first world problems, it's that time of year, Jamie. Do you remember early on, very early on, I mean, years ago, we we would cover horses getting rescued. We found it fascinating how many horses got stuck doing things in the wintertime and fell down cliffs or got in pools or whatever. And then there were so many, we just stopped talking about them. Well, I have a wrap-up of the last 2 weeks in the news. Now, these are ones that made the news. So this is how many there were in the last 2 weeks. This phenomenon that we started covering 12 years ago has not stopped. You want to hear some of the headlines?
Can I guess?
Yes.
Is there a horse in a pool?
Four horses in pools in the last 2 weeks.
What?
Four horses rescued from falling in pools in the last 2 weeks.
I think it's because people put covers on their pool and they're not paying attention. They let the horses out. Come on, people.
Oh, can I tell you something that I'm going to use forever with Jennifer? Although this whole eyeball thing kind of takes some of the steam out of it, and I'm really mad about that. So yesterday, I go out to the store and come back, and Jennifer had brought Nigel in and had put him in his little run-in, and then they can go in the barn, into the stall. And I'm coming in the gate, and of course, it's a manual gate, unlike your new fancy gate. So I have to get out and I have to close the gate. And I'm looking and I'm going, looks like all the stall doors are open. That's weird. And then I see Nigel coming up from his little run out and going into the stall and right out into the aisle through the door. And I'm going, well, Nigel's now loose. And he goes over to the hay pile, of course, climbs on top of, she has pallets down with the hays on the pallets. She climbs on top of the pallet to get to the hay. And I'm going, Jennifer must be out there. She would never do this. Jennifer, of all people, would never leave a door gate open. I would. She wouldn't. And sure enough, nobody's out there and the horse is loose. So I go driving up and I couldn't resist. I called her on the phone. She's right in the house. I called her on the phone and I said, your horse is loose. She said, well, how did that happen? I said, you left the gate open. I'll go catch him for you. Oh, don't you think I used that the rest of the day? But now her other horse hurt her eyeball and I have to stop.
Yeah, now you got to suck away the fun.
I could have used that for a month. Because, you know, we always get blamed for everything. She did that when I wasn't home.
Do you know what is bad is that Anna, she brings the horses in one way and then turns them out another way. And she constantly leaves the damn gate open. And the horses are always out. And I'm just like, oh, no. It's like the 10th time. And so I'm like, if you're going to bring in the horses, you have to close the gate behind you. Close the gate, close the gate, close the gate. Well, 3 days ago, we had the ice storm and I had to bring the horses myself. And I brought all the horses in, eventually turned them out. By God, they were out in the back, in the front yard again. I'm like, Anna, oh my God, that was me. She's breaking me. She's ruining me. Yeah, I did this exact same thing. It was ice storm. I was like, just trying to get them in. It was so cold. Yeah, I totally did it too. So yeah, even those of us can be human every now and then.
I know. Even Jennifer, the classic, I don't make any mistakes around the horses person.
Yeah, but she probably did the horse's eyeball. It's not even real. Like, she just sent you a picture of a horse with a bad eyeball and just left. She's like, because just to stop you. Like, nothing. Her horse is fine. But yeah. That is well played.
I would have used that for so many weeks and now I can't. All right.
Now she's
so continue just, guessing how many other horses in distress do we have this winter?
Okay.
You forgot the other classic. There's pools and the second thing.
Horses have fallen in holes.
Septic tanks. Two of those.
Oh, God.
Two collapsed septic tanks. Both of them in New Mexico.
Septic tank. Okay, I've told you that septic cover, please make sure that hole they dug that they're not using for you is covered because I am just so scared of horses stepping in septic tanks. It's like baby Jessica in the well. Yes. Oh, my God.
Yes, exactly. The other one that happens in California all the time, we had two of those.
No, not septic tanks. Well. Is anybody in a well?
We didn't have any wells in the last couple of weeks.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
All right. But think California. What happens in California all the time that we have to have helicopters out to rescue them from? We had two
fire.
Of those. Fire. Oh, there was a fire, but it wasn't in California.
Okay. Well, helicopter. Oh, is that where they like put the little unit on them and pull them? So horse fell down like.
Yes, correct. Horses falling down mountains. We had two of those in California. By the way, none of these, all of these are fine or I wouldn't be talking about them. How about a horse in a ditch? We had a couple of those in New England. One in Ipswich, the town we used to live in, fell in a ditch and couldn't get out. So there was one of those. Floodwaters, but there's been a lot of floods, so I don't know that we can even count that one. We usually do the ones that, you know, horses are trying to kill themselves. And let's see here. Falling on ice, there was a bunch of those. Falling into a pond, there was a couple of those, because they walk out on the ice and then it collapses and they fall into the pond.
I will tell you that we had, it was like a couple years ago, we had like a -20, like crazy coldest ever in recorded history
Did
in Oklahoma.
Did your pond freeze?
Oh, yeah, my pond froze, and it snowed. So everything was frozen, and then it snowed on top of it. And I look out, and Duke is standing on in the middle of the pond. And I was like, Duke, Duke.
You almost had your own rescue story.
Come here, come here. Oh, my. Yeah, and because he can't see it. I'm like, you know where it is. What are you doing? You're standing on heat. It was so cold that he walked right across it. But now I am a paranoid, crazy person about the horses being on top of the
fence right in front of that pond.
Like, I was like, if you fall in, there's nothing I could do. Like, no. we're going to get you out in the spring, you know, like, that's it. Everything is frozen. They can't get here. Nobody can get here on the roads. Everything
You're
is
so
ice.
Lucky that ice was thick enough.
Oh, my. Yeah. You're telling me. I still, like, when I close my eyes at night, sometimes I see that and don't
Duke's 85. He would have never had the energy to last long.
I said, I'm like, dude, if you don't come off that gently right now, that is where you're getting buried. Like, it's awful. Like, I can't do anything to help you. So, yeah, I could see horses walking across ice. Like, duh, it looks like because they're dumb.
Yeah, horses, they do find ways to kill themselves, as James proved this morning. So, let's do some equestrian first world problems. It seems like a good time for that. By the way,
hey,
I just
did she insure James? Did she get him insured?
I don't know.
May want to call that in real quick.
All right, let's do some of this.
It's time for the weekly look at your equestrian first world problems. This ought to be good.
That's right. It's the time of the week where our listeners, our auditors specifically, submit their really sad equestrian first world problems. Now, you guys were punished last week. I didn't do it because all you were complaining about the weather. And now we have some that are kind of weather, but also kind of not. So I'm going to let it slide. So if you want to participate in submitting equestrian first world problems, you have to become an auditor. Glenn, how do they do that?
Just go to horsesinthemorning.com or horseradionetwork.com and scroll down in the middle of the page and you'll see the auditor banner and you too can join, just like our brand new auditors did last week.
Yes, you get to be a part of everything. You get prizes, you get access to all sorts of cool stuff, and you get a post show. So do it. Kimberly says, I was in Scottsdale for an Arabian horse show. Like, that's enough of a first world problem. I've been to that. Anyway, I was in Scottsdale for an Arabian horse show, sharing a nice Airbnb with a group of non-coffee drinkers. So I had to buy horse show coffee. Do you know how much a coffee is at the Scottsdale Arabian horse show? $9.
Oh my God. Well, that figures. That's probably about right.
$9
for a coffee?
Wow. Good Lord. Caitlin says, I signed up for a clinic that is with the perfect trainer where my baby horse is going to be nice and close, but now my horse needs to come off winter vacation so we can actually be ready for it. You're going to notice a theme here, Glenn. Lots of people with unfit horses that are feeling inspired like me to go do stuff.
Have ice covered everywhere that they can't even ride. So
yes, yeah. Basically, exactly. Diane says, I finally found a part-time job, but the weather is starting to improve and the job is going to cut into my riding time. Stupid work. Lilla says, I have upgraded my trailer from my family's 1975 stock trailer, which is one step away from a really bad ad. But now I don't have a broken front window that I can see through and see my horse.
You really were on your way.
You were on a really bad ad.
When you post it, send us the ad, please. We want to see it.
Please do. Yeah. Kelly says, I have to go wedding location scouting, which takes away from a weekend of practice for my online in-hand horse show. God, that whole getting married thing is such a pain.
Well, maybe it's not for her wedding. Maybe it's somebody else's wedding.
Which I think is
no, she wouldn't do it for somebody else.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly. Larissa, my dear friend Larissa. Oh, this was really cool. So one of the horses in the Ingrid Klimka clinic was a horse that Larissa bred and foaled and raised
really?
And had till she was three. And I started.
Oh, wow.
And then she sold. And then she was at this clinic. It was awesome. So Larissa says, my super fancy horse I bred was so amazing at the Ingrid clinic this weekend with her rider. And now I'm super motivated to ride. But my OTTB has been out of work for weeks. So it's going to take me forever to get her fit. It won't. Let's do it. We got to do this. We gotta do something. Tracy says, I finally get to ride after 3 weeks of I finally get to ride after 3 weeks off because of nasty winter weather. Back to ranch riding late last week. Then on Saturday, we did 5 miles on the trails. And then today, I had a dressage lesson. I was so exciting to be riding again, but I'm so sore.
It's the first thing I thought of is how she even standing.
I know, right? Dear Karen, bless her heart, I came off a horse for the first time in 23 years. She had a fall. First time in 23 years. That's Karen from the Endurance Show.
Oh,
she says,
really?
And my super expensive smartwatch did not detect the fall.
I can see Karen. Karen's so into technology. I can see her that being the thing she's most. She could have broken her leg. She'd be pissed about her watch.
Yeah, exactly. Lisa says the winter has passed.
By the way, can we just say 23 years? She rides more miles than 100 of us put together every year.
You know what's funny is I fell off in a lesson in Arizona with Barb Crabo, and I'm like, boom, I like land on the ground, and she's like standing over me while I'm back flat on the ground. And I was like, that's the first time I've fallen off in like 10 years. And you know what she said to me?
What?
That just means you haven't been riding hard enough.
Tell Karen that.
But you can't say that to Karen.
No, she rides on the sides of cliffs and mountains.
That's on the Tevis Cup, for God's sake. Suck it, Barb. I have been riding hard enough. Lisa says the winter has passed and the mud is back. And now the poop picking time in the field starts. And it's so disgusting.
Yeah. Frozen and
You need to get one of those toes behind your Ranger. I have one. It's amazing. Rhonda says, I had the most perfect ride last Wednesday on Annie, and now I just can't seem to do it again. Like ride again or have a good ride again?
I think it's good ride again. I think.
Yeah. I don't know which one. See, you distract me when you come in. I told Chad, I'm like, when you walk in, you distract me and I'm like, I can't pay attention. Hi, honey. Okay. Sorry.
Hi,
Melissa.
Honey.
This is so perfect that my husband just walked in, and this is the one I'm going to read. Melissa says, I really wanted to go on the HRN cruise to Alaska, so I sent my husband the podcast to listen to. And because I knew we had crunch time, I kept pestering him and telling him I was just going to give him a deposit and we'd figure it out later. And finally, he had to tell me that he was already planning it, and I ruined my 40th birthday surprise.
Oh, she was the one. This poor guy tried so hard to do this behind her back so that he could surprise her with it later, but she was so insistent. I feel for him because he worked hard on this.
Melissa,
you're a jerk because he worked really hard on this. You don't deserve a birthday party.
She does, too. She owns Donnelly, and she is an angel, okay? She's an angel.
I have to defend the horse husband on this one. He did try hard. I heard all about this.
That sucks big time. That's like, that would totally be something I would do because I hate surprises. Don't surprise me.
He even told the travel agent we have to make sure we give her a surprise birthday party while we're on. So we were all in on it.
Oh, no. That sucks. They had a surprise birthday party for her, Chad, and everything. Oh, Melissa. Oh, but you know what? You're going. So who cares?
Hey, he gets brownie points for that one. He really does. Yeah. He tried hard.
TJ says it's supposed to be sunny and hit 40 degrees today, which means I have no excuse not to pick poop up because it's no longer be frozen to the ground. Lots of melty poo is what I'm getting. Talk. Margaret says, I somehow got on a Facebook page that just happens to have a lot of Morgans for sale on it. And now my feed is flooded and I don't have the time or space for another horse, but the temptation is there and I can't get it to stop. Yes, you can. You just don't want to. Okay. Listen. I know. Ask me how I know, Carl. And then let's get a couple more. Kathy says, after extreme cold temps, after a week off, I was a little nervous to ride my sweet OTTB on Saturday. And I usually ride him hunt seat, but I borrowed a friend's Western saddle and we had such a good ride. And now I have to go shopping for my own Western tack. Yeah, I want a Western saddle too. I'm pretty particular, though. I want it to be leather this time because I have some of the fake ones, the synthetic ones, but I want a leather one, but I want it to be like 9 pounds and not 400 pounds.
We'll see when Jennifer gets hers, what it's like because it's that hybrid one.
Yeah.
We'll have to see what it's like and how heavy it is.
I had this great Billy Cook saddle that I loved and I could lift up, but I sold it when I sold the horse. And I was like, I've regretted that selling that saddle every day.
Oh, that must have been heavy, though.
It was not. It was like really? A lighter one. Yeah. I mean, I could lift it pre-surgery.
Carrie All right. Time says, for two more.
two more. Okay, let's see. Let's see. God, they're so good, though. I'll give you a quick one. Jillian says, my first world equestrian problem is Kentucky is not this month. Got you, girl.
It's coming up, though, quick.
And then another Karen says, everyone is having winter sales, but I still have to pay my farrier bill. That sucks. And then we'll go with Jamie. The weather has finally turned around. Perfect for riding, but I have to spend all my free time working on our old house so we can sell it so we can start building a barn at our new house so that the horses can come home and live at my house. I get you, girl. I get you.
Well, thank you, everybody, for sending for posting those. We appreciate it. We have a full week of shows for you. We have Chi tomorrow, and they did something a little different this time. Asked for some auditor questions involving Chinese medicine, and they answered those. So Jennifer said she edited that one. She said it was pretty good, so you want to check that out tomorrow. And then travel. We have the travel episode later in the week, and then Jamie and I will be here on Wednesday and Friday as well. We have auditor coming up. We're going to do our auditor highlight early this week. We have Katie Labetz joining us in just a minute, so hang on, auditors, for that.
Chad, I'm sending you pictures of Ingrid's Cavaletti because I need you to build them. Thank you.
We'd like 25.
Airdropping them right now.
I need 25 of them.